You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Engage. Since this is my own show, I get to make the calls on the guests, and I'm very happy about that. And one area to me that is really underserved in the media is the role of nonprofits and the amazing good that they do. Now, this is not a topic that gets a lot of sponsorship, right? You're not going to have GM or all these other guys throwing money at you to do it, but I think it's super important to have these groups that come on the show and tell their story. So if you are so moved, please contribute and support them. If not, totally understand it. Now, today we're really fortunate to bring on a fascinating nonprofit from Chicago called Good City Chicago, and you can find them at goodcitychicago.org. Now, Good City supports local community-based organizations that serve some of Chicago's most under-resourced neighborhoods. Jimmy Lee is the president of Good City Chicago. Now, Mr. Lee is really an interesting cat. He was the former director of the, for the White House Initiative on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders under former President George W. Bush, and the former executive director of the Chicago Chinatown Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to Engage, Mr. Lee.
Thank you very much. It's an honor. I appreciate it.
Okay. Hey, listen, Good City is a fascinating nonprofit to me because it combines doing good with the heart of capitalism. Explain for our audience what your mission is.
Well, it was started 30 years ago, and our core mission is to be able to develop social entrepreneurs in different under-resourced communities in the city of Chicago. So we started off doing helping to start nonprofit organizations, but these days what we're also starting to recognize is for-profits, quite honestly, are folks who are giving social impact as much as profits are.
Right, and because they obviously both create jobs and both create opportunities for people.
Yeah. And so for us, we're recognizing that things are changing, right? Like this next generation of young leaders, they believe very strongly in social impact. They believe in giving back to community. They believe that the organizations, the enterprises, the businesses that they're creating should provide jobs, to should address poverty, should address graduation rates. And so we're starting to see that changing as well, too, as this next generation is getting older.
Right. And in what you guys do, you target neighborhoods. Why do you do that?
Well, you know, it's funny. So after the White House, I came back, I ran for a congressional seat here in Illinois, lost that election, and then I decided, and I asked myself, well, what should I do with my life?
Jimmy, can I just say, thank goodness you lost that election. Oh. You know, Illinois politicians don't have the best reputation. Let's just put it that way.
Well, no, you know, it's funny because, like, I come back and I told my wife the other day, I was like, my dream is to run for governor, and she's like, absolutely not. And so I was like, that's fine. Okay, I guess that's how the question now. She's like, I don't want to go into jail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's part of the resume, right? You become governor and then you actually go into jail. It's the process, right? It's the next thing. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, but we got off track here. Why neighborhoods? Because this is really important.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny because like right after I finished the election, I did a lot of traveling. And so I had different government agencies and foundations who funded the work that I was doing and said, look, you know, we fund this particular community in Africa, or we fund this group in South Asia. Will you help them learn how to develop themselves? You know, and so I went there. And so for about 6 months to almost a year, I did a lot of traveling internationally, and I went to different parts of the world. Like, for instance, in 1 year, I went to South Africa, Vietnam, the garbage city of Cairo, Ghana, and then also Turkey. And one of the things I started realizing when I started working with some of these organizations internationally is that Westerners, you know, being as generous as we are, one of the things that we don't recognize is when we introduce even $100,000 or $500,000 into society that's never seen that money before, we've changed the fabric of their society. And so when I sit down with business people, let's say, for instance, in India, and I said, hey, why is it that you're not contributing or supporting these organizations in your community? The first thing that they'll say is, well, why should we? The West is taking care of all these things. And so it helped me think back and said, look, we need to be able to, instead of just giving aid, we need to teach some of the people in these communities how to do this, how to start enterprises and then also help them show them that the responsibility that they have is to give back to the communities that they're part of and address some of the issues here. And so that's one of the reasons why actually I took over Good City, is because it allows me to do almost like it's a local lab for me to test out some of these theories, because the thing I keep telling them is the models we're creating here locally does affect what happens around the world, whether we like it or not.
That's really interesting. You know, community-based entrepreneurs also are really best able to identify the community needs really, because they're so close to it, and propose, you know, better effective programs designed to meet those needs. I mean, these are the people on the ground in the community and really understand what's happening there.
I wrote a piece for a local business magazine here in Chicago. One of the things I said is, okay, we need to do a better job at investing in local leaders in our community. We can't just invest in professionals or folks in downtown Chicago and essentially say they're the best thinkers, the best leaders, the best ideas, and let's take them and bring them into the community, because a lot of times it doesn't work. But what happens is, when you really want to invest in local leaders in some of these under-resourced communities, you have to recognize that, quite honestly, they may not have graduated from high school. A majority of them have not graduated from college. Some of the things that we assume that they know, they do not know. Success down there is actually very different than how you would see success coming from an organization based in downtown in the Loop in Chicago. And so for them, helping them understand some of that stuff too, but it's almost like government, foundations, corporations, all across the board, they just kind of see everyone's the same. And so why shouldn't they figure some of these things out? And for me, I was like, it's unique. You have to look at the culture that they're coming from.
Well, and culture is so important. And I think what's great now is that we're starting to get a focus back on that, and and not to be surprised or not to shun those that are different in the sense of what you were just talking about. They may not have had the same opportunities to have their intellect developed with high school, college, and whatever, but the smarts are still there. I always used to like to say, you know, as far as the traders on the floor, some of the best guys were not the guys that went to Harvard, but the guys that had the discipline to stick with how to trade. And I think it's the same way. I think that's what you're telling me here, is that's what you're looking for, those local leaders who you can aid and help and really develop.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, for instance, we ran this experiment last year, and we'll do it again this fall, called IdeaShare. And so IdeaShare was really a website that we worked with a couple corporations to sponsor a contest to help people come up with best ideas to solve a particular problem. And we wanted our experiment, or really our theory, was there are some great ideas in the community, but most of them are not the ones who usually are so public. Like, the loudest ones are not usually the ones that you want to invest your time and money into. There are some good leaders deep within the community, but a lot of times you don't even know who they are. Mm. So the site was launched, and the problem was, how do you solve the issue of violence in the city of Chicago?
Right.
We had almost 400 entries, and the first place winner got $5,000, second place got $2,000, whatever it is. And actually, 20% of those ideas, for-profits and non-profits, actually were really good. And so that's what we're doing now, is we're trying to help incubate, start their idea, or we'll go to them and say, this is a great program. Can we work with an organization to start something like this in some of these neighborhoods?
Well, that is so exciting, because obviously anybody who's not from Chicago knows, and probably knows of the problems here anyway. Yeah. People here know of the problems with all the violence and murders, and that's, you know, the thing is, what I really like about what you guys do is that you really return to, you know, the roots of helping neighbors instead of looking for the government for help. I mean, and I think that's so important. But what also I like about your approach, and this is so different from the federal government to some extent, and you know this probably better than anybody, but like is that it, and you kind of said it too, it's not just to give folks a bunch of dough and hope they figure out what to do. Good City actually has measurable objectives and helping the entrepreneurs achieve what they want to do, so they really can monitor and say, hey, this is what you said you were going to do, this is what we thought it was going to do, but maybe it's not doing it, and we need to move, you know, on beyond that.
Well, we want to be a model of sustainability as well too, and so we have a back office, a shared back office designed for smaller nonprofits and for-profits, where we actually do their accounting, we do their social media, as well as we do their IT, because now I can go to a group and say, look, it's great that you guys are doing this, but you should not have most of your money going towards general operating expenses. So if you utilize the shared back office, I can cut your cost to a third of what you're paying if you were looking for full-time staff or contractors.
Boy, that's big. I mean, as a small entrepreneur myself, I can tell the audience it's tough to keep all those balls in the air and be good at social media, be good at writing blogs, be good at you know, going on TV and radio and so on. So I would imagine for a lot of people that is just a huge benefit to being associated with Good City.
Yeah, and going back to the government, like what you said, and that's one of the things we've been telling the state of Illinois as well as the city of Chicago. And I'm gonna try to do some meetings in Washington. One of the things we said is, look, it's great that you're supporting these organizations, right? But you cannot assume that they know how to wisely use the money that you've given them.
Right.
And so what does it look like for us to be able to say, in order for you to receive a grant through the city or the state, they have to meet certain qualifications. They have to go through a certain capacity development class. They have to have demonstrated certain metrics as well as accountability structure and funding structures so that they're just not taking the money and coming back next year and asking you for more money, but they're taking the money and able to use it wisely so they're growing and scaling their organizations as well, too.
Yeah, and I think that's what's neat because you have, you're trying to get these entrepreneurs to become independent of Good City, right? And that's really important. Well, you know, we've got a couple of minutes left. Where have you found the most success with your strategy and the structure?
You know, it's actually, I mean, I think there's two success that we're finding. One is, at the local community, we're recognizing that there are some really great ideas. But a lot of times, it's not usually, like I said before, it's not usually the ones who are the loudest. It's usually the ones who are in the background who, quite honestly, no one knows that they even exist. And so one of the things that we found is actually pretty hard is, how do you find the right talent? How do you find the right person that is worthy of your investment, both of your time as well as your money? And so we found success in that. The other area that we've found great success in is in this young generation, you know, like the millennials or the young professionals, because they all, I mean, it's funny because they all want to invest their time and their money. They all want to change the world. And one of the things that we've had to do is to be able to say, you as a trader or as a government employee or as a lawyer, your career and your skill is needed where you need. Where you're working at, but you also have a responsibility to invest in the communities that make up the city. And so let us give you an opportunity to do that, whether it's collectively or individually.
Well, that's fantastic. It must be so much fun to work with those young guys. Just one more question. And I think this is important because I don't want to shy away from this. This is a Christian-based group, and how does that play into your approach?
So if you go to our organization, our organization's website, it does not say we're a Christian ministry, you know, we don't say that, but at the same time, when I start off, any session or any workshop, I really tell them about my life because I am a Christian.
Right.
And we said, look, we'd use Christian values in being able to teach you some of this because we believe that it works. And whether they are, you know, a Catholic or whether they are Jewish or whatever they are, we believe that they can really learn from some of the values that we're teaching them.
That's fantastic. You know, good news, I don't care what denomination you are. It's always fantastic when you hear these stories. And Jimmy, I just want to say it's so much fun to have you come on the show and really keep up the good work. It's heartening to hear about some of the things that you're doing.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. This has been great. I appreciate it.
All right, let's take a break. I'm Andy Bush. This is Engage.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
What do business and sports have in common? Both are based on competition, and the goal of each is the same, to win. If you're in business, you need an edge over your competitors. You need to innovate and improve. You need to make adjustments to stay ahead of your competition. Tune in to The Business Locker Room with Kelly Riggs. Get the playbook and the coaching you need to improve your business performance. The Business Locker Room airs live every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.